From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns has just begun a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will take us from Christ's baptism through His sacrificial death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Full Reliance on God. The text is Psalm 72, verse 12. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. The needy cries. What else can he do? His cry is heard of God. What else need he do? Let the needy listener take to crying at once, for this will be his wisdom. Do not cry in the ears of friends, for even if they can help you, it is only because the Lord enables them. The nearest way is to go straight to God, and let your cry come before him. Straight forward makes the best runner. Run to the Lord, and not to secondary causes. Alas, you cry, I have no friend or helper. So much the better. You can rely upon God in both capacities, as without supplies and without helpers. Make your double need your double plea. Even for temporal mercies you may wait upon God, for he careth for his children in these temporary concerns. As for spiritual necessities, which are the heaviest of all, the Lord will hear your cry, and will deliver you and supply you. O poor friend, try your rich God. O helpless one, lean on his help. He has never failed me, and I am sure he will never fail you. Come as a beggar, and God will not refuse you help. Come with no plea but his grace. Jesus is king. Will he let you perish of want? What? Did you forget this?
me, my shepherd will not sleep. My wakeful watch, O shepherd, sees each danger I must face. I feed my spirit strength and peace.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As Dr. Cairns continues this series on the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings the final portion of a message entitled, The Descent of the Holy Spirit on Christ at His Baptism. We've been reminded that as Christ needed the power of the Spirit in His service on earth, so no man can serve God apart from the infilling of the Holy Ghost. To attempt to do so will open one up to Satan's temptation and to doubts about one's spiritual success. Dr. Cairns will emphasize that the descent of the Spirit upon Christ foreshadowed his indwelling of Christ's people. The Bible makes it clear that believers ought to be living in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the only way of doing that is in union with Christ. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, the descent of the Holy Spirit on Christ at his baptism.
While we're in this world, understand there are two great items that we're always going to have to face as Christians. Number one, the temptation of the devil. If you really aren't too much troubled by the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's probably because your conscience has become desensitized and because you're really not doing much for God at all. If the devil doesn't have to bother much with any of us, then it's because he's not too worried about us. It's not because he's gone on strike or because he's not interested. We're going to have to face the devil. We're going to have to face temptation. We're going to have to struggle with the impulsions and compulsions to sin. Now, every Christian has to face those. The second thing we have to face is the matter of serving Christ and doing so successfully. I have never met a Christian yet who's really satisfied with his success rate in the service of God. I remember in the 1960s in Ulster when our churches were in great blessing and every man's hand was against us, but we were seeing new churches opened up all over the country and hundreds of people were being saved. It was the nearest thing that we have ever seen to revival in the 1960s and the early 1970s. We used to have American preachers come over, and they were walking 10 feet tall. They had never been in prayer meetings like these before. They had never felt the presence of God like this before. And they said, this is revival. But in those very prayer meetings, I remember days of prayer and nights of prayer and times of special prayer where ministers and elders would get together to seek God. And we were crying to God because of our lack of success in the work of the ministry. So I've never met anybody, even in times of blessing, who's satisfied with his success or success rate in the work of God. So these are two constant elements. Sanctification, struggling with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and service, and how to succeed in it. And here's where we can learn from the Savior. First of all, the only way to overcome sin and Satan is by the power of the Spirit of God. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of holiness, or the Spirit of sanctification. Second, the only way to serve God with success is by the power of the Spirit of God. There is such a thing as being filled with the Holy Ghost for the service of God. Now watch carefully. When was Jesus filled with the Holy Ghost? At his baptism. Remember, we looked at the significance of that last Sabbath morning? The Lord Jesus at that time was committing himself to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, he was in the place of obedience. One of the biggest obstacles to Christians enjoying the power of the Spirit of God in their lives, both in their struggle with the devil and the flesh and the world, and in their desire to serve the Lord, one of the biggest obstacles is simply sin. You're not going to make God bless your sin. Disobedience to God, our greatest obstacle in having the blessing of the Holy Ghost on our service. It was when Christ was in the place of obedience that the Spirit came upon him. And it is not for nothing that we are told in Scripture, Acts 5, verse 32, that the Holy Spirit has been given to them that obey God. The Holy Spirit is not a plaything. He's not an item on the church's entertainment agenda. The Holy Spirit is not given, as the charismatics seem to think, to make you dance and jig around like so many idiots and have so many experiences with the hair raised in your back and you have all these wonderful feelings and go out and you're unchanged. The Holy Spirit is given to the people of God to give them power to overcome Satan. And then power to serve Christ with success. The Holy Spirit was given to Christ when he obeyed, but second, the Holy Spirit was given to Christ when he prayed. We are told specifically by Luke that it was as Jesus came up out of the water and was praying that the Holy Ghost came upon him. Did not the Lord Jesus himself say in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him?" I remember years ago in Ballymoney, there was a young fellow who had just been saved, and he had been quickly snapped up by a local assembly of extreme dispensationalists, and he had very quickly, within a week or two, been fairly well brainwashed, and knowing nothing, yet he was pontificating greatly. One of the very first things they taught him was how sinful it was for a Christian to pray for the Holy Spirit. The idea was, well, you're indwelt by the Spirit, and that's all. If you knew the lives and the service of most of those people, you would understand the lack of power because they don't pray for the Holy Ghost. We don't pray to be regenerated all over again. That's done. You don't pray for another experience of the new birth. That's once and for all. But oh, how we need to pray as they prayed following the ascension of Christ for the Holy Ghost to descend as promised. Jesus said, God will give the Holy Ghost to them that ask. In Acts 1, what were they doing? They were asking. In Acts 2, what was happening? They were receiving. Now the Spirit has been given to the church. Thank God he has never been withdrawn. But there is a necessity in the life of every individual Christian to know personally, as Jesus did, the mighty descent of the Spirit of God with power upon him. How else are we going to live in victory over sin? How else are we going to serve God effectively and win the lost for Christ if we don't have the power of the Spirit of God? But we may obey and pray with confidence, because the last thing I'll say, and say it very briefly, is that descending on the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit presaged the outpouring of his fullness upon the whole church. John said, John chapter 3, that the Father gave the Spirit without measure unto Christ. And it's only because he received the Holy Ghost without measure that Christ was able, fulfilling the words of John the Baptist, to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Christ is the head. We are the body. Do you remember how this is put in Psalm 133? If Christ is the head, it's only from the head that the blessing of the Spirit can reach the body. Now, the symbolism is different, but the meaning is the same in Psalm 133. Where the Spirit of God and the unity in the body that He gives is, verse 2, like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. At the end of verse 3, there the Lord commanded the blessing. Now get the picture. The Spirit poured upon the head. From the head, it flows to the body. And there the Lord commands the blessing. In the Gospels, we have read them this morning, we read of the anointing of the head. In Acts chapter 2, you read how the anointing reaches the body. And because the anointing has reached the body, every man and woman who is in union with Jesus Christ has a right to the fullness of the Holy Ghost and of His power. If you're in union with Christ, you are not meant to live in defeat under Satan. You are not meant to live as the victim of the devil, as the hostage of your own lusts, as the plaything of the world. You are meant to live in the victory of your living Christ by the very same method and power that He had, namely the power of the Spirit of God. And if you are living in union with Christ, you are not meant to serve without power. You're not meant to go out there afraid to open your mouth for Christ, unable to sow the gospel seed. And if you sow it, expect nothing to happen. You are meant, if you're living in union with Christ, to have the power of the Spirit of God upon you to serve Him. Your life can count for God. Your service can count for God. And whether you can count up all the benefits and blessings that God confers upon the world through your service and life or not is immaterial. We are all going out to that great day where we'll meet the Lord. And what I've said is of preachers will be true generally of us all when we bring up what we have lived for before the Lord. It's either going to stand the test of the judgment day or it's not. What a tragedy to live your life for 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 years and have nothing to show for it. What a tragedy. How many people are going out that way? Sea of people. But have nothing to show for their lives. Or very little. Men and women, it ought not so to be. The Holy Spirit has come. He has anointed our living head. From the head, He has flowed down to the body. The Spirit of God has come upon the body of Christ as it came upon the head of Christ. In other words, there is power for us to live right, and there's power for us to serve with effectiveness in the sphere in which God has placed. Trust this morning that you'll see that the basis, if you don't get this, you'll get absolutely no good out of anything I've said today. If you do get this, it will all come together. I trust that you will see that the only basis for your experience of the Spirit is not your mystical temperament, it's not your ability, as some preachers tell you, to visualize. The basis of your experience of the Holy Ghost is union with Christ. He's the head, we're the body. union with Christ the basis for our assurance that the Spirit of God and His power are as much for us as they were for our Savior. May God turn our eyes upon our Christ and upon our union with Him. Bring us to that place of obedience and that place of prayer where receiving the Holy Ghost, I like a dove, for He will not dwell where the blood has not cleansed. But coming like a dove, or to change the figure, to use the Old Testament figure, where the blood has cleansed, the oil will come with power. The Holy Ghost will dwell upon us, fill us, give us victory, and use us for the honor of our great God and Savior.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.